And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is July 27, 2024, and we welcome you folks, and we thank you for being here this morning. I'll bring the men on the line, and we've got, good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Hey, Paul, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to go out across the nation with our gospel of good news, Lord. Sometimes it seems depressing, but sometimes the truth is set us back, Lord. And it is a strange pill to swallow sometimes, especially when living alive for so long, and it's hard to take. Lord, we pray that this will not fall on deaf ears, Lord, and that we do a good job. You guard our words and make everything countable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Well, let's go ahead and start off with Josh this morning. What's on your mind this morning, Josh?
Well, thankful we've been getting some rain down here. That's a blessing. It's been pretty dry and, you know, followed up the drought last year. We hadn't really had enough to catch up. So, it's been a blessing. We've been getting plenty of rain and, funny, I guess whenever you're a youngster, a child, you hear the old men talking about the weather and, you know, you kind of roll your eyes and have that thing, you know, but you didn't have a clue how much really the difference that the weather makes. And anyway, but yeah, just getting plenty of rain and thankful for it and kind of shifting gears, getting other things done, you know, while you make hay when the sun's shining, and then you do other things whenever it's raining. So.
Amen. I know that's the way that it's been out here. We've been getting rain. We got good rain last night, and you know, thankfully it was at night. after working hours, into the wee hours of the morning, but I'll tell you what, it was a good rain. It just wet everything down real good and drying out now, but you know, what a blessing it has been. We've been getting these intermittent showers that just come through and wet everything down. I know we've gotten, you look around here, the crops are doing well, and we, like last trip that I took, I'll tell you what, I seen some, the South Dakotas were just as green as I'd seen it in probably ever. And Minnesota and Iowa, I mean, they're getting the bumper crops. They've had flooding up there in some areas. They're getting so much rain, but, you know, bumper crops, corn. I mean, talking to some of those farmers out there in Iowa, they said that this is going to be a record year for them on their corn crops. So, yeah, the rain's definitely been good. Tim, I don't know, you've been getting some of the moisture, too, that I think that we've been getting, haven't you?
Oh, yes. We've had, it's been a beautiful year as far as rainfall goes. I mean, we're still kind of somewhat deficit-wise because of previous years, but my goodness, yeah, it's been great. As a matter of fact, they were having just a little trouble cutting wheat on account of, you know, the... the amount and the timing of it, but it's like Josh said, I can remember as a kid being like, oh man, all those old men do sit around and talk about the weather, you know. It's like, but on the other hand, the things that really matter, whether it's construction or farming or whatever you do, it's very important. Is the wind going to blow us out today? Is it going to rain us out? Is it going to, you know, is it going to be so hot we can't hack it? I know tomorrow's here is supposed to be like 105 for a high, so it's going to be warm, you know, and that's just the time of the year it is, but you just try to get ahead of it and work your schedule in around whatever the plan is, you know. It's a divine plan, and I'm like Paul. I think they'd like to really think they could control the weather, but the more they try to do it, the more God just rubs their face in the fact that they don't have any control. You know? So it's kind of like, I find all these things, I don't know. He says, sit back and watch and watch what he does. Sometimes you just sit back and go, well, he's got all the answers. I sure don't.
And I was talking to a lady last night. We were talking about anxiety and stress and all the health troubles that, that come with that. And, you know, we were talking about that, that that's in no way is that anxiety or stress or any of that good for you, physically, mentally, any of that. You know, worry is not good for you. And it's like, well, you know, what do you do? How do you change it? Because that's what you do, you know. So how about trusting God? You know, would, when you realize that nothing we have would we have without him. You know, everything we've got is because he's given it to us, because he's allowed us to have it. When you really believe that and, you know, you look to him for the next step, there's a peace that comes in that. And you realize that your stressing isn't doing a bit of good. Actually, it's probably pushing you further away from him. You need to spend more time with him and talking to him than stressing about what you think is going to happen next and hurting yourself physically.
Oh, yeah. I think it's comical when we look at, and this is just a kind of a, to me, an example of some of that is we've got all these people now playing the stock market with the AI machine, you know, and I think a lot of times people don't realize the issue that in marketplaces, when someone makes money, somebody loses money. That money came from somewhere, you know, I mean, it did just, so if your market share goes up, somebody else's went down. I mean, there's exceptions to the rules, but, you know, they were talking about the fact that, oh, well, you know, this AI has such great returns and has such great input on the market and everything else. And then I just read a new one that says, well, for some reason, they had the lowest return here a week ago that they've ever had on AI, and they just can't figure it out. And it's like nothing can participate in a system like that without affecting it. And this corporate model of just, you know, perpetual growth, it doesn't happen. God gives us a sufficiency. He gives us an abundance. God is the only one who can create abundance. No one else can, you know. So they don't ever factor that into their thinking. You know, they don't, whether it's, regardless of what it is, it's like, well, we're going to make it happen. And it's like, God's like, no, you're not, you know. So if you don't want to listen to me and do what I say, why, you're going to suffer the consequences.
Yeah, and I, you know, that anxiety. I mean, it's you know, I mean, we're to fear God, and I think that there is a lot of people right now that are suffering from anxiety. I think that you know, you hear about people all the time that are getting on these head drugs to help with their anxiety, and they need something for anxiety. And you know, you look at a lot of the side effects on some of that stuff too, and you know, it's an anxiety drug. It's supposed to help you with your anxiety, but it could cause anxiety. You know,
not one of the side effects.
One of the side effects. It's just, I mean, and you talk about insanity. So I'm taking this for my anxiety, but it could cause anxiety. So is it changing one anxiety and turning it into another anxiety? I mean, I don't really get it. And then when you see that, you know, one of the things that you really got to be careful with on a lot of those head drugs is one of the side effects is, you know, could cause suicide, could cause death. I wonder, you know, why do people take this garbage?
Well, that's all they got. They don't have faith. I had a conversation with a woman yesterday. She said, well, I ain't got nothing saved up for future. I have no future, nothing like that. I said, well, that's worldly. You know, and I understand your anxiety, but I said, it's in your head. It's what you believe. That says remedy to this is faith. I don't know what the future is. If the bank shut down, there's a lot of people that have a lot of money in there that they can't even use it. And then you talk about anxiety, the deceitfulness of riches. It's paper money is what it is, and it's coming down to the real deal. It's going back there, whether we know it or not. But anxiety is definitely self-inflicted, and you don't. It depends where you turn. You turn to the Word of God, or you turn to the pharmakia. And that's the difference, you know, and so many people are on pharmakia. and very few love the Word of God, you know. And, you know, like, oh, what's his name, John Lewis, you say it rubs the cat the wrong way, let the cat turn around, you know. And that's kind of true. And sometimes the Word of God does rub us the wrong way, but I've got the problem, the Word don't.
I lump in, I say my word for it is stuff, and that's money, that's property and vehicles and whatever, it's stuff, you know, and the stuff don't really matter. I always say if you got a big problem but money can fix it, it ain't that big a problem, because there's folks that die every day, you know, with plenty of money, but they can't stay here and live forever, and they give their money for their health. And, you know, if you got your health and if you got today and you got God, that's a good spot to be in.
Amen.
Yep. Yep. Well, when you boil it down, anxiety is basically the realization that you're incapable of helping yourself, and you don't know where to turn for help, or you don't, you know, you don't have that that lifeline or that, you know, fix it. Like you said, money will fix it. Well, you don't have any anxiety if you've got money. But there are issues that face people every day, both home, hearth, and, you know, daily life, that are problems they can't fix, and they don't know where to turn, and it results in anxiety. I mean, they become stressed, they become depressed. It's all a bunch of est, you know, stressed, depressed, repressed. I mean, but, you know, and these, the pharmakia, the magic people, they have their sign out there just like at the carnival. I mean, you know, we can fix your future. We can fix your fortune. And really all they do is offer a numbness to it. You know, it's all painkiller. They just make the pain go away, but it doesn't really go away. You just don't feel it anymore. You know, I mean, or you become, zombified, or whatever words you'd like to use, and you know, and now you can't even recognize real help when it comes your way, which is extreme. It becomes more depressing, and you just look at how these people, they suffer from this all the time, and it's like God says, you know, come unto me, I'll give you rest, you know, I'll give you these good things, and you cast your cares on him, he takes you forward, and all he asks from you, your participation level, is just give me the best that you've got, and I'll do the rest. And I think a lot of times that some people forget to give him their best, they just want to ask from you, your participation level is just give me the best that you've got, and I'll do the rest. I think a lot of times that some people forget to give him their best, they just want to,
What can I do? Because it is a participation activity. You know, what can I do to make this better? And then I'm not worried about the rest of it, because God's going to take care of it.
Yes, they just want to,
What can I do? Because it is a participation activity. You know, what can I do to make this better? And then I'm not worried about the rest of it, because God's going to take care of it. But I think everyone is exposed to it and feels pressure at times. I don't know that any of us have had it all figured out.
Yes, I think so. And I think that's something that, I mean, that's human nature. And you're always, I mean, everybody has different areas that they struggle with it. You know, and I think, and it's just, you know, it's something that, you know, you overcome. But like Paul said, if you don't have the faith, and I think that's, you know, to one of the things that people really need is they need to have that faith. And it's something that's, you know, it's just, you can see where this world is a scary place if they don't have it.
You know, when you build that faith gradually over time, you pray and you see, everybody's walk is different. So, well, you know, we got that 11th hour story. We can happen in the blink of an eye. But for me and for you guys, something that we built over time, you know, relationship and growing and being able to see God was working those miracles back when you couldn't see them. It's just that you couldn't see them. And, you know, thankfully over time he helps us to see better. And, I guess it can go either way as far as it can be just like a flip of a switch. But for me, it's been a process of praying about the small things and being faithful with the small things and giving them to you. And you learning that you can bring the big things to him just the same. And he'll take care of them without, you know, sometimes without any effort on your part, and things that'll happen that you thought were impossible. You know, but it's a lifestyle. That's why they call it a walk.
Yeah. The other day we were, me and my son, we were out in the shop, and it was raining. It was raining hard, really hard. And then it was all of a sudden, and we had the front door of the shop open, and you could hear that change in the sound. And all of a sudden, you could tell when it, you know, turned from rain to sleet to hail. And it was, you know, I walked over to the door, and I didn't think there was any hail in the forecast. And looking outside, and you could tell it was growing, and it's getting louder and louder, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm looking at the vehicles, and then I'm thinking about the garden. And you know, we've had several times where garden's been, you know, destroyed by hail, and then we've had it where we've stopped and we've prayed, and the storm went right around us, and there was a lot of devastation around us, but you know, our garden was spared. And I said, well, Justice, we need to pray. And we just started praying. And I just prayed for that hail just to stop and to halt and not to harm our garden and for our property to be protected. And as soon as I started praying that, it wasn't 15 seconds into the prayer, you could hear that sound change again. And it went back to rain and kept raining. And, you know, it was, we have not because we asked not. And that's what I was telling my son when we got done praying. And he was just looking at me. He's like, Dad, did you see that? And I said, yeah. And he's like, that was awesome. And it was, it was awesome. God was fervent. He answered our prayers. He spared our property from the damage of that hail. And spared our garden, and you know, we were very grateful for it. But it was you know, it was an act of God, and you know, it was good for him to be able to see that at 13 years old.
Boy, you guys sure got lucky.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, is that's some more of that education that really matters, is teaching your children to recognize the intervention, the divine intervention of God Almighty. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm always astounded when people pray for something and then, you know, everybody's sitting around, they go, I just can't believe that happened. I just can't believe that. You know, and it's like, wow, did you pray believing, or did you, you know, I mean, you might want to say, God, help my unbelief. I believe God, but help my unbelief. I just want that to, you know, but teach your children to recognize those acts of what do we call it? You know, they're just miracles. I mean, it's just, every morning is a gift or a miracle, but you know, you just kind of have to, those kids, children, as you teach them that, they, you know, they start looking for it. It's like, well, I'm going to find one, you know, so there you go.
And don't rob God whenever he blesses you and put it off to luck, you know, give luck the credit for it. It's one of my pet peeves, and I, you know, I try to catch myself and other people that I feel comfortable with, like you guys, I'll bring it up when somebody says something about being lucky, but as a blessing from God is what it was. And, you know, if I was in his position and every time I did something well for my son, you know, he just looked around and said, boy, that was lucky, instead of thank you, Dad. You know,
amen.
I'd just be thankful that I'm not him because I wouldn't have the patience that he does. I'm trying, but you know, I'd want to do something different. Like, try your luck next time, pal. You know, you do it on your own. But anyway, my opinion, you're robbing God whenever you put it off on luck and don't thank him for it.
Exactly. Or don't give him the credit for it, you know. And that's what a lot of people do when they say, you know, they pray for something and then they say, well, we sure got lucky there. Then yeah, I know, and I think I'm right there with you, Josh. I mean, we've got to, and that's something that you got to make a conscious effort to do is, you know, go back and say thank him for you know the blessings that he gives us each and every day. And you know, as we look around, I mean, the blessings that we receive each and every day, we are a pretty blessed people. You know, I know that there's a lot of people out there that say, where are the blessings and stuff? And they want to talk about all the curses that have come down upon us. But in the midst of the curses that are amongst us, I'm blessed every day. And, you know, try to make a daily effort of thanking him for the blessings that he bestows upon me each and every day, because I'm grateful for it.
Amen. I was, you know, all my children are adult children, you know. They're still my children, but they're all grown up. They've got their own lives, their own families, and you know. But still, to this day, we're blessed every day with two, maybe three of them show up for lunch or stop by, you know, to do that. Just like yesterday morning, I was talking with my wife, and I said, you know, how many parents would just, you know, they just, you know, give anything if they just had something like that go on. That's such a blessing. That's such a great thing. And you know, you're just as happy every day when they pull in to do something like that or stop. You know, they just, you know, give anything if they just had something like that go on. That's such a blessing. That's such a great thing. And you know, you're just as happy every day when they pull in to do something like that or stop through what we have for wonderful times, wonderful blessings. We just don't see the benefits that we blessing. That's such a great thing. And you know, you're just as happy every day when they pull in to do something like that or stop through what we have for wonderful times, wonderful blessings. We just don't see the benefits that we have all around us. You know, it's such a God-given and wonderful opportunity.
Amen. Yeah, and then I'll tell you what, one of the other things, I don't know, kind of switching gears, that was, I don't know, did you guys experience the smoke from these fires where you guys are at?
We still are, yeah.
Yep, and finally blew out of here yesterday, and I don't know if it blew out of here or if it came out in the rain or what happened, but it was finally gone, and man, there was a lot of smoke. It was just from where I live, you generally can see the mountains pretty well, and there was so much smoke in here that it was just a haze over there and couldn't see the mountains or anything, and it was just pretty crazy, and you'd get those, you know, you'd get these whiffs of smoke that all of a sudden you're looking around thinking that there was a fire, just wasn't sure where something started, and you could smell that it was a wood fire, and it was, you know, it was disturbing. I had a window open one night when it, you know, when it started coming in, and I got up and I was looking around outside trying to figure out where this fire was. There was so much smoke. And from what I understand, it's, you know, I don't know. I have different stories, and I don't really know what the truth is, but I don't know if it was coming in. I guess there's huge fires up in Canada, and then there's some, huge fires over in, Oregon, Montana area.
Yeah, I've been hearing about those too. And we still got a haze even this morning. It's lighter, but it certainly is there, you know. So, and last couple of days has been almost like fog, a light fog all day.
Yes.
Long. Just weird.
Well, we've been getting smoke too, but it's because of this giant burn pile I've been burning from the drought tree that I took down.
more localized.
My wife yesterday, she was like, what's on fire? What's this and that? My son looked at her and was like, Mom, have you looked outside? burning out in the field. It had started raining. So, you know how to kind of make it smolder on top so you get more smoke. And she said she felt kind of dumb. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, praise the Lord that it's dry enough or it's wet enough that you can burn your burn pile too. Because, I mean, there for last year, I think it was last year out there in your neck of the woods that you couldn't even mow your grass. Didn't they have like an executive order where you couldn't even mow your grass because of the fire danger?
They did, and I didn't agree with the order, but I agreed with the logic. I mean, I do pretty much, I don't follow rules very well, but I wasn't burning anything. I mean, I wasn't taking any chance of a fire because it was so dry that even your yard, you know, if you got 1.5 inches tall grass in your yard, you could take and thump a match out there and it would just burn across there. You know, it was so dry. And so it's been wet enough, like you said, and that's, you don't always have that in, later on in the summer, enough moisture to be able to burn safely without worrying about, you know, burning your neighbor's place off. So, yeah, it's been a blessing to be able to get some cleanup done.
Well, what else is your mind this morning there, Jim?
Did you see that? Sorry. I don't know what they called it, a hydrothermal explosion up there in Yellowstone? I mean, they're in Biscuit Basin. They had a not too far from Old Faithful, they had a really big kaboom out there, blew all the boardwalks off and stuff. Yeah,
they were saying that it was, and there's a lot of people saying that that's a pre-eruption to another bigger one. But I saw a video, and it was people were basically running away from it, and it was going off. I think a couple people got some pretty good damage to themselves too in that, didn't they?
Well, there were no mortalities that I know of, but I never really heard on the injury thing. So you know if you read something like that, I never seen the follow up on it. I did see the video of the actual. You know, there were people running their cameras on their phones at the time, and it was there in the background. It's a pretty big deal. I mean, at just about the same time frame there, shortly thereafter or whatever, they had a 5.1 down in Texas. I don't know if did you feel any of that, Josh, down that way?
No, we didn't, but I know folks that did. And I'm pretty sure I saw where they had a follow-up, like 4.7 at some point after that, 100%. But,
yes, yeah, you're right. I've seen that, too. That an aftershock. I thought it was 4.7 or 8, something like that. But that's kind of a little unusual in Texas. I mean, but they're... Mount St. Helens is rocking and rolling a little bit. I mean, that whole area over there on the West Coast has been kind of, you know, God's definitely shaking them up a little bit.
Yeah, and I saw some people that were, they were definitely unnerved by it, and, you know, just wondering what was going on.
One of the other things I found that I wanted to kind of pull out that I thought was interesting just from a, I don't know, coffee conversational standpoint was I got a new soybean out and I started looking into that just a little bit and it was like, oh my, this new soybean is they basically, you know, re-genetically engineered it. It's pink on the inside and they put DNA from a pig in there. So it's pork flavored soybeans, you know, and it's ups the protein, but what really got me was the name of the company that's doing it. I don't know exactly how you say it. I know how I read it, but it's MOOLEC, Moolec or Moloch, and Moloch's talked about in the Bible quite a bit. You know, that was child sacrifice, and God cursed people for sending their children through the fires of Moloch and everything. So I was like, wow, there's a lot of things there that are, and of course, you know, going back into that, what's the point? We're not short on the process at all. They just want to do it to see if they can. So, and I was thinking, you know, we used to have the comments, male chauvinist pig. Now you can eat your soybeans and be a, I don't know, female chauvinist pig. I mean, you know, there's a lot of,
I was looking at that company as well, and on their webpage, it says, "We are Moloch Science," and it says, "We produce animal protein plants aiming to heal the meat production system. We are a global company with operations in North and South America and customers in 15 different countries. We are a team of the top PhDs in food and agribusiness professionals from all over the world." And they've got some weird products.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. That's weird stuff. They're talking about beef-flavored peas and a whole bunch of things, yeah.
With piggy proteins inside. Yeah.
And on a similar note, well, there's a Swedish company that was making mealworm bugs, you know, to sell to people for, like, granola and protein bars. They've been pushing people to eat that. We've talked about it. What one of the Swedish companies called Tabrito, they've been producing those over there, and they had, like, $4.2 million in investments to push stuff, and they just went bankrupt because nobody wants to eat their bugs. So, you know, God has a sense of humor. So they, in 2023, their revenue was $49,000 and they lost $12.6 million. So, God has a sense of humor, and it just makes me chuckle. I was like, yeah, well, that's what happens. Keep playing with stupidity.
I see a lot of these.
It seemed like a great idea. Well.
Go ahead, Paul.
I see a lot of these big corporations going bankrupt. I don't know if you got Rite Aid where you are, but it's a drugstore, stuff like that, and they just filed bankruptcy. Just a lot of those big corporations are getting bankrupt. People think that how they can do that, but you know they operate on a real thin margin. They got lots of overhead, and the corporation can take some really nice stuff off the top, but. It just don't function unless it's, you know, producing. And I see the highways and the stuff like that. The traffic is so down. You know, gas just shot up to $4 here. And it's just having an effect on everybody. I mean, there just ain't enough money to go around them anymore, you know. All your basics are costing you double what they did probably a year ago.
Yep.
Yesterday morning, they had 17 cities in the Upper Peninsula that had frost.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Wow.
I couldn't read the details, but yeah, there were 17 cities in Upper Peninsula that had frost yesterday morning. That's peculiar.
That is very peculiar. They haven't even got harvested any of their stuff up there, have they?
Oh, there ain't a lot of agriculture up there, but... No, it's different for sure. You know, I don't know how you guys' crops are maturing, but we had corn tasseled here in the first week of July.
Yes.
Which is, they used to be knee high by 4th July. Well, this was tasseled in 7 years. We're 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule here.
Yeah.
Yes, same thing here. I mean, and same saying always, you know. So, yeah, they're ahead.
All the other
things. We still got guys cutting wheat. Usually it's done by now, so usually wheat's out, but it's some of the guys are still cutting wheat, and it's pretty late for that.
Yeah, did you see where that that California governor, he signed that executive order to remove the homeless encampments that are all across the state of California?
No.
They got
where's he going with them?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'd like to know that too. But basically, he, you know, they said that, you know, there's a lot of controversy over the whole deal. But there was a Supreme Court ruling that gave local governments greater authority to enforce anti-camping laws. And so, and that's one of the things that I think that this stemmed from. And then Newsom, he came out and he signed this executive order. But the interesting part about it is he basically told the local authorities that it's their job to clean it up and it's their problem. So he basically really didn't give them a solution, but told them that they needed to start immediately cleaning up these homeless camps that are just basically all over the place. I mean, the pictures, there's a serious homeless problem there in the state of California, and they're everywhere along the highways, along the every park, every national forest, everything. I mean, it's a messed up deal. But you know, if they start cleaning them up, what are they going to do with them?
Give them a $500 prepaid Visa card and a bus ticket to Colorado.
Probably. Well, I mean, we laugh about it, but it's totally,
it's not,
you know,
funny.
It could happen, and our homeless population is growing like crazy here too. I mean, we're seeing record numbers of them. I mean, we got more vagrants. You're seeing each more of them every day, you know, and it's not just, you know, illegals that are here. It's, you know, there's a lot of white people in the streets.
Give them a gift card to the dispensary.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
And we've been told that, like, talking to some of those folks that, you know, that are homeless, but they migrate to Colorado for the summertime, and that way they can enjoy, you know, the little system y'all got going up there, and with the milder weather and all, and then wintertime when it gets cold, they push down a little further south, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we see that a lot, and it's kind of that's one of the reasons that we kind of look forward to cold weather out here.
I can see that.
Well, and they've got the more they created the problem with all of their, you know, freebies, mandates, quote unquote help. And the more that they, and then they suddenly try to, like, passing an administrative rule is going to just magically make it go away. And it's like, guys, it just doesn't work like that. You know, I mean, I know that in California right now, out there, and a lot is Antelope Valley, I think, which is the Mojave out there on the edge of the desert. They've got people out there, and there's like 7,000 people they estimate out there that are just homeless people. Some of them have campers, some of them have tarps and everything else, and they're living out there. There's no water, there's no services. They said the trash is just crazy. They've got dogs that are going out there and attacking people because there's nothing for them to eat. People are unable to take care of their animals, and it's like, so, you know, passing some rule that you can't be there, or passing some rule that where do they go? What do they do? You know, it's God's plan eliminates it from the other way around, you know, so it follow his rules or, you know, this is what happens.
Yeah, this, also recently, I know we've talked about it, I think, here in the past, but the book Execution by Hunger, The Hidden Holocaust, 7 million people in the breadbasket of Europe were deliberately starved to death at Stalin's command. The story has been suppressed for over half a century, and now a survivor speaks out. We just recently got this book back in stock. It was just recently reprinted. Fantastic book that goes into a lot of the details and things that happened. And it goes back to about 1928, 1929, and basically there was a lot of things that I didn't realize had taken place over there in the breadbasket of the world. And it talks about just, you know, over there, they call it the breadbasket because there's so much food that was produced over there in that part of the country, and still is. And they you know, they basically came in and they just took the farms under Stalin's command and took the farms, took the food, and starved the people to death. And really good information. We do got that book back in stock, it's definitely worth reading if you don't if you didn't know about the real Holocaust that took place over there. And it's just, you know, it's another thing that just shows how our enemies, the enemies of Christ, have constantly tried to rewrite and change history, and how much stuff is out there that is actually suppressed.
Well, I think that's what the Holocaust was basically about, is to get a diversion from what was going on up there, because just millions of people died up there, and that's not even talked about. And, you know, the Holocaust was a phony thing, too, because I heard a Jew in Lansing one time. He had the meat business in Detroit, and he escaped the prison camp 7 times. He said that was all made up after the wars. That was his words.
And there's a lot of information out there on that as well, if you go and look for it.
Yeah.
Very, very, very suppressed. And a lot of that stuff, it's like, I was talking with a guy that was from Germany, and he said that we were talking about some books and stuff, and he just basically said that there's so much stuff you can't even get it out over there. I mean, they've got stuff that's like underground book trading and selling stuff that you go to jail if you have some of this material that denies the Holocaust over there. I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
We had some Germans years ago now that were over visiting, and they were in there, and we were having breakfast with them one morning, and of course comments came around to the Holocaust and some of that, and there were comments being made by the guys sitting there, and they were all like doing the side, you know, the side eye to each other, kind of looking around, and they were very nervous about it. And finally it was like, are we making you guys uncomfortable, or, you know, we thought maybe you'd have some input. And they were like, even talking about this at home will get you incarcerated. You know, I mean, it's like, you don't use those words, even good, bad, or indifferent. The best thing to do is stay totally clear on them. But they finally did loosen up and talk a little bit. Like you said, they were like, well, there are people there, but it's a very underground thing. You don't, because the sympathizers with anti-Holocaust or with a lot of those things are immediately carted off and gone. And, you know, they're still paying reparations. I mean, so it's the whole thing is very strange.
Well, shut the TV off. That's a diversion, too. It just keeps you from thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I know a guy who watches Fox News. He thinks it's a gospel. I said, shut the thing off. And he's all worked up about Camellia and all this crap. And I said, shut that TV off and start thinking. You know, but he sure believes that Fox News is on the other side, but it ain't.
Well, does anybody ever think about the fact it's called Fox? I mean, how is a Fox? How is the Fox shown in all of our historical literature or fables or, you know, any of our stories? They're always crafty, sly, false. You know what I'm saying? They're not usually good critters, you know, but you got Fox News out there, so.
I know that I got a message from Derek up in Canada, and he said the same thing. He said, and we spoke about this before, and he was telling me he said, I spoke to a paramedic who said that, yes, they are sending homeless people from Toronto out to surrounding cities on the rail trains, and I did some looking into this too, and they're doing the same thing. I mean, they've got a huge migrant problem up there. And I mean, it's, you know, they're getting invaded. It's invasion. They've been invaded. They're done there. They're all over the place. But they, you know, and that's what they do, is they get them into the cities, and then they start pumping them out from the cities, you know, out to the different areas, and, you know, try to get them into the rural areas as well.
Well, look how this all started. All the people went from the countryside to the city, and now they're coming out. You know, you can only handle so many people when you got, you know, you have these budgets for all the, you know, the city work and the county work and stuff like that. And the more people are, the more budgets and the more debt.
Yes.
In the country, you know, the countryside, you drive through back through Montana up there, all them old mills sitting out there with nobody around them. You know, that was all prosperous country at one time.
Yes.
Well, you pay a huge price for forgetting God. Huge.
Amen. Well, and that's what the Bible says. No, I mean, and I mean, we see a lot of these things, and I think that it's just, you know, it's important to, you know, stay in the shelter of the Most High. And I've been, you know, encouraging people. I think one of our prayers needs to be on a regular basis is Psalms 83, just the whole thing. It's so important, and it's so powerful, and there's so much said there. And I believe that that's what just, you know, all, you know, we talk about our enemies and them and they and this and that, and basically they want Jacob to be wiped out as a people and to be remembered no more. I mean, they hate Jacob Israel, and they hate us, they hate our people. And, you know, you try to explain that to people, and, you know, they don't really get it. And I mean, it's just it's a race war. It's a war between good and evil, and they hate the God's chosen people. What it boils down to.
Amen.
They're fighting on a lot of different.
The word.
What's that?
The word hate nowadays doesn't even mean what it used to. People, it's just a generic word thrown out there. You know, it doesn't carry the weight of what it actually means.
Well, and the other thing is it's very selective. It's okay for some people to hate, but not for others. You know, it's really, it's okay to hate certain things or to hate certain people if you're a certain group. I mean, they've really segregated that word to, like you say, mean something totally different than it used to.
Yeah.
Love the sinner, hate the sin. Did he just
love that one always gets me.
Well, they've taken it, and, you know, hate doesn't mean hate anymore. It just means to love less.
Lot less. Really. Well, you know, Jacob, I love Esau, I hate it. No, Esau's got children out here, so just who are they? That's the question. Who are they? And but yeah, people are so naive. Love Jesus, love Jesus, love, you know, and they're a bunch of walking hippies in mansions, you know. That whole mentality is just not it.
Yeah. Well, we've only got a few minutes here left. Closing thought, gentlemen.
You know, Biden stepped down, and this goofball is sitting in place. I don't know what's going on, but it seems like it's just chaotic, and it's just getting worse by the day. I don't even know who the enemy is anymore, because what's worse is these so-called Republicans that are really on the other side, but they're deceitful. We'll put us politics here, but it seems to be very chaotic. And I would suggest you shut the television off and read the Bible. God, you know, God's word is true, and they don't make laws. These old goofball California said he could just eliminate his problems, like disposing of the camps. Well, it's still there; it's just different. Even if he does get away with it,
yeah. And I don't know what the, I mean. That whole thing is got me trying to figure out what they're trying to do. But you know, I know that it just a lot of stuff just really don't make sense right now.
Well, they're trying to make California look pretty again, like it was at one time, and get rid of the, you know, just like cleaning up the trash and putting the dump. And then they got the human ones that, you know, they're just trying to, the system's failing right before their face, you know, and they're trying to fix it, and they ain't doing the right thing, because they need to repent and tell people to get on their knees and look to God. But they're trying to do it with the edicts, and they don't make law, they make policies.
Second Timothy 3:13-14. Evil people and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So, well, that's just keep on keeping on. God says that you'll be persecuted if you follow Him, but doesn't matter. Keep it up.
And Josh, what do you want to close out with?
Just keep attitude of gratitude and remember everything we've got come from Him, and He will continue to provide for us. Don't worry and stress. Bring it to Him, give it to Him, and do your part.
Amen. Paul, what were you going to say?
Well, you know, I was talking about, you know, Revelation, cut yourself off of badness so you don't suffer sudden and swift destruction. No, there's going to be a whole lot of destruction going on, and it's in progress. And, you know, if you have an anxiety, it's really self-inflicted because you don't have faith. And you can't just get it. I'm 73 years old, and it took a lot of years to get to where I'm at. And there were a lot of stupid things that I did and thought. And it's a matter of cleaning house and putting put your mind on the Word of God. He said He would take care of you. That there'd be plenty of food for those that believe. So just start believing.
Amen. Well, and I think that, like what Paul said, too, is more important than ever. And that's a double witness on. I heard that earlier in this week, and, you know, read your Bible. And I really think that people need to get into the Word of God, read their Bible, figure out how they can apply it to their lives. And do it. If it takes turning off the TV or turning off the radio or whatever it is, and getting into the Word of God, you're going to be blessed because of it. And it'll start people thinking. Just really want to encourage people just to do it.
Sometimes you need people to teach you the Word. You know, I come to the Scriptures for America and got a whole new outlook, because I knew the Bible pretty good before then, but I didn't understand it. But now I do.
Praise the Lord. Well, folks, we want to thank you for tuning in this morning. Gentlemen, thanks for being here this morning. We'll be back next week. And remember to join us for church tomorrow by going to scripturesforamerica.org.
The ancient prophet Isaiah foretold a time and a people who would awaken one fearful morning and discover they'd been conquered while their watchmen slept. Could he have been speaking of today? Of America? As we sink ever deeper into economic chaos and moral decay, some people are realizing that Christian liberty is almost gone, subtly replaced by the heavy chains of slavery. Within a single generation, our public life, schools, music, literature, and entertainment have been infiltrated and seized by anti-Christian groups, and our youth, our most precious treasure, have been ensnared by drugs, immorality, self-mutilation, violence, despair, and suicide. Awake, America, awake! Write for America the Conquered by Pastor Peter J. Peters. The book is available for a $10 offering. The cassette album for a $25 offering. That's America the Conquered. Write to Scriptures for America, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
The story of Gideon, the Israelites, did evil in the sight of the Lord. enslaving them to the Midianites, who oppressed them greatly by taking their crops and settling on their land. That kind of thing only happened in the Bible, right? Wrong. In America's Perils, a repeat of the Gideon story, Pastor Peter J. Peters reveals what happened to Israel of old is happening to America today. America's Perils explains how America is being oppressed through economic hardship, excessive taxation, and unchecked immigration. More importantly, this pamphlet explains what America did to displease the Lord and the solution to America's current woes. Order America's Perils by sending $1 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, or order online at scriptures4america.org.